Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Ralph Topham with Work-Life Connections, EAP. I'm continuing my conversation today with Anna Guest Jelly and Katie Protost of the Margaret Cunningham Women's Center here on the Vanderbilt campus. Katie, continuing from last time, if I'm in this relationship and I find it very fluid with emotional reactions like love and fear and a number of things going on, it would be very confusing to me.
I would definitely agree. I also think it contributes to some of the difficulty people have in identifying potentially violent situations, and I'm talking about sort of emotional violence and the psychological aspect, because it's not just a negative interaction. It's not just negative language. When Anna was talking, I'm thinking about how a person who has power over uses both the damaging speech, the hateful speech, the sharp tones, the rude comments, the negativity, as well as the positive references and the praise. So you have both the good moments and the bad moments working together. So I think the complicating factor is it's not all one or the other.
No, it would never be. And so how do we sort that out?
A lot of it is looking at the total picture. It's looking at the context. It can also be having friends, colleagues, family members that say something, and there's power in another person saying, hey, I'm worried about this situation. I'm worried about the way this partner treats you. And to be able to hear that with an open mind, that someone else is identifying a red flag, even if we're not identifying it in ourselves, because we want to believe in the person that we first met or the person that we're more used to having around.
Okay, other thoughts that you want to add?
I was just going to add on to what Katie said. And if you are that friend pointing something out in someone else's relationship, it can also often be frustrating if you feel like, I pointed this out to my friend and they're still with their partner or they didn't do anything. And what we really see is that it takes people a lot of time to see that in their relationship and acknowledge it and feel like, okay, this is something that I want to change. So if you are that friend, it's most important to just keep supporting that person, because eventually they will probably seek your help.
Certainly from a therapist's point of view, it's not a good idea to keep pushing that person, though.
Right.
Because you're just going to get resistance. In fact, they're going to entrench and defend against you more than be helped by ongoing pressure.
Yeah, exactly. So. We usually talk about opening doors, of just having a conversation of, I care about you, I'm here for you, anything you need, I'm here. Opening the door. Sometimes they might be saying, I'm worried about you, but more often than not, just letting them know that they're not alone and they have an option, because what we see in the abusive end is an isolative component. And so by opening that door, it helps protect that person and lets them make the choice for when they're ready, and empowers them to do what they need to as they need to.
I know we talked a little bit about that nonviolence language. Does that give a person a clue as to whether or not they're being heard? Or, I mean, can we sense, I have this, you know, I talk to whomever and I just walk away and I never feel like they're hearing me. Is that a way we can pick up on that to know if we're actually being listened to, respected, those kinds of things?
Yeah, I think that's the purpose behind the idea of nonviolent communication, is that you're both actively trying to hear your partner and have them hear you. And so, really, I think the underlying idea is communicating what you're feeling rather than blaming that other person. So saying, you know, when you say, why is dinner late, it makes me feel guilty, versus saying, why do you always make these accusations? And so really putting, foregrounding how you're feeling so that that person clearly understands what you're saying. And then, you know, hopefully they will respond in kind.
Okay. Just picking up on that. How would I express that without making it a blame-filled statement?
Okay. One thing that comes to mind, if you're someone who's going to be having dinner with this individual, is perhaps a statement that would be an offer as well, as sort of a, I've noticed we've had a delay in dinner. Is there something I can do to help? Would you like me to cook one night? Would it help if I brought something home? And perhaps by making an offer, sort of sharing that responsibility for dinner, takes blame out of the equation and opens the door for the person to say, wow, thank you, yes, or no, it was just a rough week, I'm okay.
Thanks for listening.
Please feel free to leave us any comments on this Wellcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu. That health and wellness is all one word. Thank you again.